Just remain standing and turn in your Bible, if you will, to the book of Revelation, chapter number 14. Revelation and chapter number 14. Amen. I appreciate all that's been done this morning. I appreciate Brother Dela Cruz giving his testimony there to us, tell us about his work. Singing, amen, thank God we are so blessed. You can't ever say too much about that, the great blessings of God. Amen. And then appreciate the Sunday school and all that's done in that. Amen. And I don't preach out of the book of Revelation a lot. And felt like the Lord gave me one verse here out of Revelation chapter number 14. And sort of, in a sense, a unique verse. I want to try to instruct and encourage the saint of God. And at the same time, encourage the sinner about how seriously, they need the Lord. All right? In Revelation chapter number 14 and verse number 13. One verse. So let's read it all together. Here's what I'll do. I'll read it myself first, and then we'll do it a second time all together. All right? So verse 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Let's read it together. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. I want to preach from that phrase, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. I want to preach from that thought if I can this morning. All right, Brother Matt, would you lead us in prayer, please? Yes, thank you, Lord. Yes. Amen, amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I certainly do appreciate that prayer. Though this phrase, blessed are the dead, that's a remarkable phrase. We would say blessed are the living. But God said, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. This time of year, we think about death a lot because we recognize those that are missing. By the way, death has touched every family in this church and every family that's ever lived. But we've had some in this congregation that's lost siblings, that's lost parents, that's lost grandparents to the hand of death. That have had children, they've lost children to the hand of death. Those things that touch us closer than we want to be touched, to be honest with you. But every one of us are going to be touched in some way by the hand of death, ourselves as well as by those around us. And so I'm thinking about, and I want to encourage you, God doesn't say fear death. God doesn't say regret death. God doesn't say ignore death. He says, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Amen. Now, there's two remarkable things I want to say about that in my introduction, and then I'll get to my points, and I've got about 5 points. I said I'll do my best, be as quick as I can. I'll try not to run rabbits. I'll try to just to give you the notes that I've got and hopefully be a help. First of all, I want you to notice that verse number 13 that I read to you, there are two voices that are said there. There is the voice of the Father. I heard a voice from heaven. I believe that's God the Father speaking. That's who it was when John heard the voice from heaven speaking after the baptism of Jesus. I believe that's the voice that he's hearing here, this John on the Isle of Patmos, as he's hearing this voice from heaven that says, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. But he also heard the Spirit say, you see that? Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors. So we've got John here, John the Beloved, whose eyes have been riveted to this amazing statement. And a matter of fact, what he saw, look at verse number 1 of chapter 14, what John saw. And I looked, and lo, a lamb, capital L, by the way. A lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 having his father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven. Now he saw that sight, and in seeing that sight, he heard the voice of God. Here's what God said and told him to write in verse 13. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. He's gazing at that sight that had to be spellbinding to him, to see the Lamb of God as he is in his glory, and to see the 144,000 Jews that are going to be sealed as witnesses unto the Lord. But he hears that voice from God saying, here's what I want you to write down. And then he not only hears the voice of God, but he hears the voice of the Holy Spirit saying for him to write those things down. Now, you know and I know that according to the law, God's law, we're not to accept the witness of just one. There's to be the mouth of two or three witnesses that establishes every word. And so God gives us two witnesses, two in one. God the Father and God the Holy Ghost. Witness this phrase, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Amen. Death appears to be a monster to a lot of people. They fear death. It's a terrible thing. And there's a terrible thought of dying. There are many that tremble at the thought of dying. But here's two omniscient witnesses that say, you don't have to fear. Amen. God the Father knows it all. He knows more than you know. He knows more than I know. And he says, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Holy Spirit knows everything. And the Holy Spirit says, if I could paraphrase it this way, here's what he's saying. Death has lost its sting. It's not that we don't weep over loved ones we've lost. That's natural. And by the way, there is some therapeutic part of that. Right? You don't have to hold back. You don't have to stoically face these things. It is all right to weep. We just don't weep as others which have no hope. Amen. Because we know what death is, and that God has, or Christ has, taken the sting out of death. The grave has lost its victory. Therefore, we can say, as God said, we can say, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. That's a remarkable statement that he mentioned it by two voices. Then there's a second thing. It's remarkable that God not only said it, but he told John, write it down. Look at it, what he said, verse 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write. Before he made the statement, he said, write this statement down. Maybe because he knew John might not have immediately accepted that statement, but God said, I want you to write it down. It's to be accepted. It's not only to be accepted, it's to be preserved. It's to be proclaimed. Write it down. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Amen. God wanted John to write this pronounced blessing down. You know, we write things down to make them more durable. Right? You have last wishes. You know what? You know, maybe you've told your children, this is what I want done with stuff, but you write it down. Are you following me? You better write it down. You write it down to make it more durable. You write it down so it can be kept, to be less likely to be corrupted. When we speak it from mouth to mouth, sometimes there is confusion that comes out. You ever played the telephone game? I'm not talking about where you call somebody and they never answer. I'm talking about where you say something to somebody, you whisper it to them, and you pass it around. And when it gets back to you, most of the time it is nothing like what you started out with. Because the spoken word many times can be corrupted. But God said, write it down. I want you to think about this. When God gave the Ten Commandments, he gave it verbally to Moses, but he wrote it down. God didn't tell Moses to write it down. God wrote it down with his own finger on two tablets of stone. I'm talking about the original. And then the originals got destroyed. Oh no, what are we going to do? The originals are destroyed. God told Moses, write her down word for word. God preserves his word, friend. Amen. And he preserves it by writing it down. Amen. And that is a good thing. But God gave the Ten Commandments not in word only, but he wrote it with his own finger on two tables of stone. God commanded his prophets not only to pronounce their prophecy, but to write them down. God told those men, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and you go on down through there, Ezekiel, those men, God told them to write these things down. Why? That they might be preserved. Amen. You remember Job made the statement that he wished his words could be written down. Here's what he said in Job 19, 23 through 35. Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book. That they were graven with an iron pen and laid in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth and that he shall stand in the latter day upon the earth. Job said, I wish I could write down what I'm saying. He didn't know it, but God was writing it down. God was writing down what Job was living. God was writing down what Job was thinking. God was writing down what Job was saying and what was being said to Job. But he made that statement, I know that my Redeemer liveth. We can thank God that it was written down. Amen. That we can know that our Redeemer liveth. Amen. Heavy-hearted believers have turned back to those verses many times and been encouraged to know, I may be going through trouble, but nothing like that. And if he knew his Redeemer liveth, I can know my Redeemer liveth. And amen. And that he'll stand and I'll see him in this flesh. Amen. I'll see him. Amen. So God told John to write it down. I'm glad God told him to write it down. It do us good to learn the value of this saying, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. I really believe every syllable of that saying is a blessed syllable. It's actually sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. It'll be helpful to you in a time of grief. Amen. And I know that when we come the end of the year and it gets dark and cloudy and wintry and all that, it can be a depressing time, and depression is on the rise in times like this. One of the reasons is because debt is on the rise. People buy things they don't need, buy things they can't afford to give to people they don't even like just because they got them something last year. That's right. And it can be depressing. It can be depressing. But especially when we think about, as I said, an empty chair, feelings of loneliness, that's natural. But God says, listen, it don't have to be something that depresses. We can find a blessing in the fact that we know that there's a life after this life. Amen. Amen. And so I said, God told John to write it down. It'd do us good to write it down on our heart. Write these things down on our heart. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. All right, so I've got five things. I want to look at all of them right here in this verse. This is my first point. Blessed are the dead. Again, the world says, I don't understand that. I'd say blessed are the living. But God said, blessed are the dead. The world judges things by feelings. Really, it does. The world judges things by the senses. The world judges things by a fleshly mind. God judges things spiritually. Amen. And when our loved one passes, listen, it's sad that our loved one passes, but would you want them to live forever with cancer eating away at their body? Would you want them to live forever with whatever it might be? Heart disease, diabetes, on and on and on. Whatever it be. You wouldn't want them to live forever with all that going on. Thankful that God allows that when this life is over, there's another life that's better than this. Amen. I'm talking about to the child of God. And he mentions who that is. That's not to everybody, but it is to the child of God. Blessed are the dead. God judges things spiritually, but God also judges things accurately. You may remember that the book of Ecclesiastes said that the day of one's death is better than the day of one's birth. Whew. Now, we get excited when a baby's born, and we should. We don't get too excited when one passes. I'm not saying that we should get excited when they pass, but I believe there's rejoicing in heaven. Amen. Amen. When Stephen came to his time to die and he saw the Lord standing at the right hand of the Father, Stephen wasn't being received into heaven mournfully. He's being received into heaven joyfully. Amen. Joyfully. Let me just think about life. What makes life good? What would you say makes life good? Well, I would say having a right relationship with God. Having the smile of God on your life makes life good. But what would be better than having the smile of God here would be having the smile of God there. Being in His presence. Amen. Being in His presence would be even better. In a place where there is no gloom, in a place where there is no sorrow. Amen. In a place where there is no trouble. To be around the throne of God with the people of God would be better than life on earth among sinners. Amen. Amen. So again, he says, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. Not only blessed are the dead, but here's my second point, that die in the Lord. That's the phrase. Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. There are multitudes that die unblessed. Amen. According to Google, I did look it up just a few days ago on the 4th. It said approximately 150,000 to 170,000 people die around the world every day. Between 150 and 170,000 people die around the world every day. And we don't think anything about it because that wasn't our brother or our sister or our mother or father or our grandparent or our loved one, but it was somebody's brother, somebody's sister, somebody's parent. Are you following me? It meant something to somebody. Amen. And they passed away, and they passed away so quickly. Matter of fact, when I looked that up, it said that comes to approximately 6,000 to 7,000 people per hour. It's 105 to 120 deaths per minute. That is 1.7 to 2 people that die every second. So I can snap my fingers, and in the time it takes me to snap my fingers, at least 2 people have died around the world somewhere. And in the time for me to complete that sentence, probably 20 people have died. They're dying. They're dying. But not all of them are dying blessed. Matter of fact, the majority of them are not dying blessed. Amen. Life, if you think about it, if you could, y'all seen the pictures in a lot of churches. I think Peter Ruckman's the man that drew the picture, but the picture that's got a bright city, say the bright city on this side, it's got a city of men on this side. There's a cross, there's a gulf between them, and men are falling over the cliff into the burning fires beneath. You've seen that picture? Well, here's if you get the picture of men, there's a multitude of people that are marching towards death, and at least 2 per second are falling over the cliff. At least 150 to 170,000 every day are falling over that cliff into eternity. Into eternity. And again, not all of them are blessed. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Of all that vast multitude continually pouring into the eternal afterlife, there's only a small company that are actually blessed of the Lord. That's why Jesus said, Matthew 7:13-14, enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Not all the dead are blessed. I remember a few years back, just before I came here, when I was pastor in North Carolina, a man died, and I had a part in his funeral. As far as I know, he died unsaved. As far as I know, he died drunk. And a boy I went to school with had pastored. He'd been a Southern Baptist pastor, and he left the pastorate to go into hospice, to be a chaplain with hospice. He had visited that home. Matter of fact, I think they were distantly related to him. We were talking before the funeral, and he was talking about the fact to need to encourage the family and help the family. By the way, I didn't get up and say, well, I believe old Frank's in hell. I didn't say that. But that wouldn't help the family. What good would that do? My job was to preach to them that not everybody does go to heaven. The only way you can get to heaven is through the Lord Jesus. But he got up and made this statement. This is a statement that he made. He said, I am so glad that our loving Father in heaven has made a way that all who die can go to heaven. All who die? By the way, they could. They could have gone to heaven. But once they've died, there's no opportunity for them to be saved. Right? And by the way, it don't matter what the Catholics say. There's no purgatory. There's no in between. Again, not all the dead are blessed. There can be no blessedness in a Christless death. No blessedness there. In that rush to eternity, somewhere in that time between the beginning and the end, you've got to call on Christ for salvation. You got to repent and believe the gospel. It doesn't matter how costly their coffin is, how splendid their funeral service is, how extravagant the flowers are. Their death is unblessed if they don't know the Lord. Mark 16, 16. I'm not having to turn these places because these are familiar verses. Mark 16, 16 says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. I don't get hung up on the baptism part. He didn't say if they're not baptized, they're damned. He's saying the believing is the part that makes them saved or lost. The baptism just follows the belief. The baptism is just evidence of their belief. But he is saying this, if you believe, you're saved. If you don't believe, you're not saved. They shall be damned. The unconverted are not blessed in death because they didn't accept the blessing in life. Amen. Seeking the Lord in life is what prepares one for death. Coming to know Christ in saving faith is what takes the sting out of death. Amen. That's why Jesus said this about believers in John 10:28. I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. John 11:26. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? So Jesus said they'll never die. Now that never dying doesn't mean the body doesn't die. Dying and perishing is talking about after death. Not, you don't have to have the second. It's appointed unto men once to die, but the second death's not appointed. Jesus said you must be born again. Somebody said it this way, and they're so right. If you're born only once, you'll die twice. But if you're born twice, you'll die only once. Amen. What Jesus was saying in that when he said they'll never perish, he said they'll never die, is he's saying blessed are the dead which die in the Lord, meaning that death is not eternal death. Death doesn't have to be the second death. For the child of God, we can live forever in glory after this life is past. Amen. Here's my third point. I'm looking back at verse 13 again. I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, right, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. And here's my part I want to notice from henceforth. You read the book of Revelation, John's beholding a lot of evil. Men that curse God, not only in the blessings of God, but when God chastens them, they turn to curse God. It's one thing to see a child that in his rebellion, in his disobedience, that they are, your goodness, your kindness, they just disregard that to go on. But when you see a child that haven't been spanked, that haven't been punished, that haven't been chastened, they still turn around and defy you. That is a rebellious spirit. John saw all that and John said, it's good to get out of that. It's good to get away from all that evil. John saw a lot of judgment coming to the earth. John saw a lot of torment and torture coming to the earth. And John said, it's going to be good to get out of that. Amen. It's going to be good to miss all those things. Amen. By the way, it do us good to think about our departed loved ones that way. Think about all the evil they've been delivered from. Amen. The things they didn't have to live to see. Amen. We hear people say things like this. We say, boy, if so-and-so knew that, they'd roll over in their grave. You know what that means? They wouldn't like to have seen that, but thank God they passed before they had to see all that. Amen. So here's what I want you to think about in our life. We may be called to go through a lot of persecution, even a lot of tribulation. We may be called to go through that in life. If we are called to go through that, we're going to have to persevere and trust God that God knows best. But if God would see fit to take us out, we ought to thank him that he knew what was best to get us out before all that comes. Amen. Amen. Here's a fourth point. In the middle of the verse, it says, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors. That phrase, rest from their labors. Work's not a curse. You've heard me say that a number of times. God gave Adam a job before the fall ever happened. That job was not the curse, but just the labor, the hardness of it was what was the curse. By the way, childbearing's not a curse, but the labor, the hardness of it was what's part of the curse. Amen. So God gave Adam that work, and then Adam's sin caused that work to be harder. The curse came. But when God delivers a saint of God out of this life, then his labors are ended. Amen. Wouldn't you say they are truly blessed? All that hard labor, all the struggles are past. In this life, we have constant struggle with Satan. But in the world above, there'll be no devil there. Praise God. Amen. Amen. No more devil in heaven. There'll be no more struggle in heaven. When we breathe our last breath, all our struggles will be over. Amen. There's a glorious home in heaven where we can rest from our labors. Here in this world, we have a testimony to guard. We've got to guard our testimony. We've got to guard our thought life. Amen. We've got to guard what we say. We've got to guard what we do. We've got to guard against temptations. We've got to guard against the accuser. But up there, no more temptations and no more accusations. Amen. Satan's the accuser of the brethren, but one day his work will be done. The accuser of the brethren will be cast down. And you know what we're going to be doing? According to the Bible, we're going to be enjoying heaven with just men made perfect. Amen. That's what he said. Just men made perfect. Paul said in the book of Philippians, Brother De La Cruz was reading and teaching through the book of, in the book of Philippians, chapter number 1, I believe it's verse 23, Paul talked about being in a strait betwixt two. And you know what he said was the best, far better, would be to depart. You know what Paul was saying? Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. He said it's more needful, at this moment, more needful for me to stay here. But there came a day when it was Paul's time to cross over, and Paul wasn't regretting that it was his time to pass over. Paul was rejoicing that it was his time to pass over. Amen. Amen. So, that they may rest from their labors. To depart and be with Christ is far better than anything we can ever experience or have experienced while here on earth. Now, saying that, I'm not advocating that you go ahead and speed things up. You follow me? I'm not saying we should desire death, but I'm also not saying we should dread death. Amen. I think we ought to be careful. He said, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors. When Paul came down to his time to die, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, Paul did not draw back in fear from death. Here's what he said. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me in that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Amen. And then here's my last point, and it's the last part of that verse, and their works do follow them. Part of the blessedness that he mentions is that their works do follow them. Now, let me just say, I know you know this, but it do is good to repeat it. Nobody is saved by works. Nobody ever has been. They weren't saved by works in the Old Testament. Nope. They weren't saved by works in, they wouldn't have been saved by works in the Garden of Eden. Works don't save. There never has been a salvation by works. Never has been, never will be. But at the same time, God's not unfaithful to forget our works. He'd be unrighteous. That's how the book of Hebrews chapter 6 verse 10, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. It would be unrighteous for God to forget our works. Amen. That verse of scripture, Isaiah said, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. That doesn't mean that nothing we do matters. It means compared to salvation, compared to what is needed for salvation, we can never have enough good works. But what he's saying is that I'm not talking about comparing it to salvation. I'm about once we save. Paul said to Titus, he said to remind them to do good works. Amen. Encourage them to do good works. Paul said the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying unrighteousness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. You know what he's talking about? Good works. Good works. God is interested in our works. Can I just say Jesus is paying attention to what we do for him? Amen. You may remember, I believe it's Mark and Luke. I believe I'm right. There was a box sitting in the temple where they cast in their money. And Jesus stood by that and was watching what went into the treasury. Amen. Now, we don't try to pay a whole lot of attention to what people give in the offering. Amen. It's not our job to, but Jesus pays attention to what goes in the offering. Jesus noticed what was going in there. As a matter of fact, when the widow lady, but the rich people cast in out of their abundance, but the widow lady came and only had two mites. And she cast those in. I'm glad they hadn't outlawed the mites like they did the pennies. She had two mites and she cast them in. And Jesus made a note of that. Here's what I'm saying. He's still watching what we do today. Not that see if our good outweighs our bad. No, that's not got anything to do with that. But what he's doing is he's keeping a record of what we're doing because our works will follow us. Amen. Amen. Christ is paying attention to what we do for him. He's watching what we do. As a matter of fact, I believe he's going to comment on it, just like he did that widow woman. Amen. Amen. He commented on it to the church. You're in Revelation. Go back to chapter 2. The churches there in Asia, there's seven churches, and Jesus mentioned their works to every single one of those churches. He mentioned it. Chapter 2 and verse number 1. Did you notice this? Christ told the church at Ephesus in chapter 2, verse number 1, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience. And you could go on, jump down to verse number 9 and you'll see what he said to the church at Smyrna. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. He goes on in verse number 13 of chapter 2, talking to the church at Pergamos. I know thy works and where thou dwellest. Jump down to verse number 19. And he's talking to the church there at verse number 19, church at Thyatira. I know thy works and charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works. He mentioned a second time there and the last to be more than the first. Look at chapter 3 and verse number 1. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Look at verse number 8. And he's speaking here to the church at Philadelphia. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. And then jump down to verse number verse number 15, he's talking to the church at Laodicea, church of the Laodiceans. He said, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying Jesus noticed every church. He's paying attention to the Island Ford Baptist Church. He's paying attention to the Maranatha Baptist Church. He's paying attention to the Grace Baptist Church. Those are three independent Baptist churches I know of here in Madisonville. I really believe he's paying attention to the other ones as well, other churches. Amen. Jesus is paying attention to the works. Now again, I say works are not salvation worthy, but they're not nothing either. You get that? They're not nothing. They're not worthless. Amen. I could say a lot of things right there. Turn to Matthew chapter number 25, and I'm trying to quit, but this is an important point. I know it's my last point. I want to, don't you notice that, by the way, it's what he ended up on. Their works do follow them. Matthew 25, words of our Lord Jesus. All right. Verse number 34. Matthew 25, verse 34. He's giving a parable now. He's telling a parable here. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my father, and excuse me, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it to unto one of these, or one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Here's what Jesus is saying to them. He said, I'm paying attention to what you do. You may forget it, but I won't. Everybody else may forget it. They may never notice. They may never notice. By the way, I remember Brother Travis Clayton, and he could say things the funniest of anybody, but he'd make a point while he's doing it. He said, for example, he said this one fellow mowed the grass, and the preacher forgot to give him an attaboy at the close of the service the next Sunday. The preacher forgot to pat him on the back, and he didn't mention it. The fellow stormed out the door and said, I'll never mow the grass again. I don't care if it gets hubcap deep to a Ferris wheel. I ain't mowing that grass. That'd be pretty deep grass, wouldn't it? But listen, you're not working for an attaboy from the preacher. We ought to be working to get a well done from our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. Matter of fact, Jesus said in Matthew chapter number 10 and verse number 2, that even a cup of cold water, just a cup of cold water given unto one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, not even given in the name of the Lord, just in the name of a disciple. You give a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple. He said, you'll not be forgotten. Your reward will not go unrewarded, or your work will not go unrewarded. Amen. He said, you'll not lose your reward. Now, I'm closing with this. I want you to think about this. I'm not trying to overestimate the value of works. At the same time, I'm trying to show you some comforting thoughts that God's keeping a good record. And God said, when your book is closed, your works won't be forgotten. Though this life may be over, he said, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Amen. Let's stand to our feet as they come with a song. If you're not saved, that blessed are the dead is talking about those that are saved. If you're not saved, you can be. And the time to get saved is while he's dealing with you. It's while you're in life. You prepare for eternity while you're still in time. You prepare for death while you're still in life. But you're going to go to death ready or not. You're going to face eternity prepared or unprepared. as a child of God. Listen, let's think about our loved ones when we think about those that are past. Or by the way, how about this? When it comes our time to die, we're not comfortless. Christ has not left us here comfortless. He's given us His Word and He's given us His Spirit to comfort us, that blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, for they shall rest from their labors and their works do follow them. Father, thank You for the Word of God. I pray, Lord, that it's received as it was meant and would be comforting to the child of God. Father, I pray You'd help that it be convicting to the sinner, that they too might be saved before it's too late. I pray You'd work in this invitation time according to Thy will, and we'll thank You because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.